This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakraborty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
You could be so pretty if you would just do this one thing. If you would just do this one thing. If you would just get in your place. Get in your place, Susie Q. I saved it for you. Get in your lane, Susie Q. You are too big for
this. This is slam poet Susie Q. Smith performing her piece Black Hole Mouth. She's from Denver, but next Wednesday she's coming to Cambridge, Massachusetts to perform at the Cantab Lounge. Now, why the Cantab of all places, you ask? Well, as it turns out, it's the hub of Boston's slam poetry scene. They host a slam every Wednesday night, and it's the subject of this week's Artery segment, where we talk to artists, curators, and critics about what's exciting them in the local art scene. We're joined now by someone who knows the slam poetry scene from the inside out as a performer and as a teacher of performance poetry. Caroline Harvey is a professor in the Liberal Arts Department of Berklee College of Music, and she joins us now. Caroline, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So first of all, the Cantab Lounge, I'll admit, I didn't know it was such a mecca for performance poetry. How did it become the heart of the scene?
In 1989, when slam poetry was really just beginning in Chicago, poets Patricia Smith and Michael Brown met there in Chicago and directly imported the scene and the culture and the art form to Boston. So by 1991, we had a regular scene.
We had a regular scene, but the Cantab?
Well, Mark Smith, he's a socialist, and it was sort of a subversive thing where poetry that was academic and taken over by the educational environments became this fun, exciting, divey bar thing. Okay. And the Cantab is perfect for that, especially in the basement.
So you have performed there.
Yes.
What does a typical Wednesday night at the Cantab look and feel like?
Well, you walk down the stairs and there's usually a line of people with their ears pressed to the door waiting for the moment the poem ends or has a break so that you don't walk in the middle. It's a smart crowd. They know poetry. They know how to listen. And slam poetry is interactive. It's a call and response. So there's a lot of yelling and whooping and clapping and engaging.
So let's listen to a little bit more poetry. You mentioned Patricia Smith.
Yes, one of the founders.
One of the founders. Here she is performing her poem, Skinhead.
They call me skinhead, and I got my own beauty. It is knife scrawled across my back in sore, jagged letters. It is in the way my eyes snap away from the obvious. I sit in my dim matchbox on the edge of a bed, tousled with my ragged smell, slide razors across my hair, count how many ways I can bring blood closer to the surface of my skin. These are the duties of the righteous. The ways of the anointed.
Now, Caroline, Patricia Smith is considered to be more of a performance poet as opposed to a spoken word poet. What's the difference there?
The word performance poet essentially means there's a poem that's been crafted and attention has been paid to the writing, and there's a performance that's been crafted. So attention has been paid to the body, where it is in space, how it's gesturing. Spoken word tends to indicate there's been more attention to the vocals, to the rhythm, to the cadence, or to the rhyme scheme. So we start to move more into musical terminology. Patricia Smith does what I think slam poetry is truly brilliant at, which is she harnesses the power of her body, what her body means politically, what it looks like, how it moves, and uses that as an integral part of the work.
Okay.
So which we heard in Skinhead, because Patricia Smith is a black woman and she's reading a poem from the perspective of a white male racist.
Well, let's listen to an example of something a little different on the spoken word side. And this is possibly one of the most famous pieces of spoken word poetry out there. So let's just listen.
The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised. Will not be televised. Not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
So that, of course, is Gil Scott-Heron's The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. Obviously, you hear exactly what you were talking about there.
Yes.
The words and the musical structure. But let's talk for a minute about poetry slam as a term, because it refers to an actual competition between poets. Why even have? Why compete? Why should poets be competing?
Because it was really Mark Smith, construction worker turned poet in Chicago. It was really his socialist act of Why is poetry quiet? Why is it boring? Why is it white male dominated? Why is it in libraries? Why is it in classrooms? Let's make it fun. Let's bring it to the people. Let's make it edgy and exciting and hilarious and inventive.
Well, Caroline, I love the competitive aspect, as you describe it, of slam poetry, but there's obviously a lot of vocal critics out there who say it's not real poetry. And I understand that, in fact, you once got into an argument with former poet laureate and frequent Radio Boston guest Robert Pinsky about this.
Yes. Well, a scholarly debate, shall we say, in front of probably 300 people.
Oh, dear.
He also is not a fan of poetry slam and referred to it publicly, little did he know, in front of me, as amateur theatrics. And I think still for many people, there is academic poetry that is real, and then there's performance poetry.
Well, what is your response to his fundamental criticism?
My pushback is your work is about bringing poetry to the people, so our missions are in line. And that really, it is very much an evolution from the traditional and academic craft of poetry that has added in elements of hip-hop, of performance, of body empowerment. And also, amateur theatrics really got me, because there is nothing amateur about the theatrics that are happening on slam poetry stages.
Well, we opened our conversation with a little bit of tape from Susie Q. Smith,
yes,
who is the featured performer next Wednesday night at the Cantab Lounge. So let's listen to a little bit more from her. This is an excerpt of her poem, Black Rage in Four-Part Harmony.
I am easy black, indie black, light black, like black light, your black friend, so cliche, your only black employee, want me to be your soundtrack, want me to be your ghostwriter, want me to give you permission, want to touch my hair, want to end of summer compare skin tones, I always lose, still blacker than you, you will follow me through the store, offer to hold my things at the counter until I am ready to check out, but you will still ride the elevator and you will probably not clutch your purse.
So tell us a little bit more about Susie Q. Smith.
She is doing a lot of things I'm excited about, in that she comes to the craft of performance poetry and the competition of slam poetry from a background in activism and community organizing. And she brings her politics and her deeply personal experiences to the mic. And she's rhythmic and exciting and harnessing the power of voice and the body on stage. And I love her work. I'm a big fan. Mm-hmm. So that makes me happy.
Well, that's Caroline Harvey, liberal arts professor at Berklee College of Music and poet herself, talking to us about the weekly poetry slam at the Cantab Lounge in Cambridge. It happens on Wednesday nights. And next Wednesday's slam features the Denver-based poet Susie Q. Smith. There's more information about her at radioboston.org. Caroline, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. What a joy to be here.